This is Mary Lewis at A Tiny Homestead, the podcast comprised entirely of conversations with homesteaders, cottage food producers, and crafters. Today I'm talking with Crystal at Half Pint Coffee Company. Good morning, Crystal. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. This fog that we're experiencing in southwest Minnesota is about killing me. But other than that, it's a great day. So I just asked you before we started, I'm going to ask again because I think it's really cute. You are in Walnut Grove and the name of your company is Half Pint Coffee Company. So it's a reference to Little House on the Prairie. Was that intentional?
Yeah, in a way it was. So we actually live on the banks of Plum Creek, my house is, and we wanted to think of a fun name that also paid a little homage, of course, to Loringles Wilder and Little House on the Prairie. And so that's why we went with Half Pint Coffee Company. But also Half Pint works for coffee because an 8-ounce cup of coffee is a half pint.
Yes, absolutely. I grew up reading the Little House on the Prairie books, living in Steep Falls, Maine, of all places. My mom was hooked on the series and she was like, "You're a reader now, try this." And I loved the books. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be living in Minnesota anywhere near where those books were generated from.
Yes. Yeah. So I've lived here. I grew up 15 miles from here. I've lived in Walnut Grove for 22 years. And my kids were actually in the Loringles Wilder play, the pageant, every summer for about 8 years. So I know the story well. I also grew up reading the books and then I reread them as an adult. My kids love the books. So
I think it's adorable that you named your coffee company that. That's fantastic. Okay. So Half Pint Coffee Company, is it a coffee shop or is it a you supply coffee to places?
So it is a multifaceted operation. So we opened in May of 2023, roasting coffee beans. And Walnut Grove is a tiny little town. We have a population of about 900 people. And so I knew eventually I wanted to get to the point where I opened a storefront coffee shop, but I also wanted to diversify my revenue streams and make sure that it was going to be sustainable. So we started out with roasting coffee beans because it was less capital outlay, and it's gone really well. And so actually we are in the process right now of renovating a building on Main Street in Walnut Grove that was built in the late 1940s as a medical clinic. And for the last 30, 40 years has been a dental clinic. And now we have totally demoed the whole space and we're rebuilding a coffee shop. So the plan is to open summer of 2024.
Congratulations. That's got to be really, really exciting for you.
Yes. So my business right now is roasting and selling coffee beans, whole coffee products. So we have a wholesale license and production license. So I sell to local retailers. I retail in my space also 2 days a week. And then we have a couple of different coffee shops that we provide their espresso beans for.
Okay. So I just talked to a lady a couple weeks ago who also does coffee, but she does not, she has no intention of opening a shop. And she actually gets her beans from sustainable, reasonable, good for people who work for them companies.
Yes. Yep.
And she's very, very specific in the country that she buys from. So can you tell me about how you get your beans and then go on from there?
Yeah, sure. So I source my coffee beans from a distribution center out of Minneapolis, and they work with a company that only contracts with fair trade farmers throughout the coffee belt. So same thing. I buy my coffee beans from many different countries in the coffee belt, but the farmers that I work with are all fair trade, which means that they're sanctioned and they have to provide their employees a fair wage that's watched and monitored.
Good.
Yep. And the majority of my coffee beans are also organic certified. The only ones that I use that aren't organic certified are from countries that don't have the capabilities to certify organic. They're third world countries. They don't have the ability to get that done. But if you know about coffee beans, they grow in difficult terrain. And so the idea of getting chemicals and things like that into where these coffee beans are grown is, it's unlikely. So they are not, they might, not all of my beans are officially certified organic, but they are all organically grown, if that
Okay.
makes sense.
Yep, that makes all sense in the world. One of my saddest things in the world is that we can't grow coffee in Minnesota because I would be growing it if we could. I
Oh,
am.
mine too, because I'd be full circle.
Yeah, and for me it's not that I want to do a coffee business, it's that I love coffee. I have loved coffee since I downed probably 7 cups when I was younger because I had to stay up all night.
Oh, yeah.
And I have loved it since, and every morning, as long as I know where the coffee maker is and as long as there's coffee in 5 minutes, the day will be all right. Okay, so now that we've established that I am a coffee fiend, questions. I have so many questions. Number one, do you play with coffee flavors when you roast
So
it?
I introduce two flavored coffees for the holiday season. Otherwise, I do not. I research the beans. I'm a believer in flavoring the coffee after you brew it. So when I research my coffee beans from the different regions that I get them from, depending on the temperature that you roast those beans to, you can bring out different flavors naturally. So that's what I do. So my coffee beans, unless you have the long winter peppermint mocha or the Prairie Grog, which is a butterscotch caramel toffee coffee that I introduced for the holiday season, everything else is raw coffee beans roasted by me and packaged up. There's nothing else added to them.
Okay, so when you get your beans, your green, not roasted coffee beans, how do you know what it's gonna taste like when
Well,
it's
I do
roasted?
when it's roasted, I do a lot of research and then I just experiment. And so that's pretty much my summer consisted of was experimenting. I got it down to 10 different coffee roasts that I think are the best. So I have two lights, three mediums, three darks, and then on top of that, I have two different espressos and a decaf espresso, and yeah, that's what I have. So I just experimented until I found the best flavor. My mission statement, Half Pint Coffee Company's mission statement, is to never make a bitter coffee.
Okay.
So especially with the dark roasts, I had to be really particular about where I got the beans from, because not all beans from any region like to be roasted to the different temperatures.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to is when you say light and medium and dark, is that how long you roast it for? Is it the kind of bean? How do you know?
So I researched the beans from, let's say the lightest roast I do is from Ethiopia. And that bean in particular likes a really light roast, brings out the best flavor of that bean. It does not like to go any darker. So a light roast is the least amount of time, and you don't take it to as high of a temperature as a dark roast. And
Okay,
so
so
a light roast for me takes from start to cool down, because my roaster cools down the beans for me, takes approximately 8 to 9 minutes, where a dark roast takes closer to 15 to 17 minutes.
it's quick.
Yeah. And then I just have varying. I have a light roast. That's the Ethiopian beans. I'm not going to give you too many of the beans that I use for different roasts, because it's kind of like giving away your best cookie recipe.
No, that's fine.
but that, and then I have a shade darker light roast. Those beans are That's called Creekside. And the lighter you go on the roast, the more florally or citrusy flavors you get, and you don't have like necessarily the roasted coffee flavor. So then Creekside's just a little bit darker. That is, it has a really smooth taste. And then we go into the mediums. And so then I have two mediums that I roast to like a full medium level. And then I have another one that's a shade darker. And then I do the same with the dark roast. I have a lighter on the side of the dark roast down to a dark, dark roast. So I try to cover like a rainbow of roasting levels of beans.
Okay. So I really like dark roast coffee. But I do mm-hmm. not like French roast coffee because it always tastes burned to me. Is there a way to have a French roast coffee that doesn't taste burned?
Yes, my French roast coffee does not taste burned. And that's deep too.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was just that's how it's supposed to taste. And then I was like, that can't be right. Who wants to drink burned coffee taste?
That's right, right. You have to pick the right beans. So when I wanted to do a dark, dark roast, like a French or Italian, because some people really like that, because that's where you get the most like coffee, roasted coffee flavor. And also dark roast has the least amount of caffeine on the coffee spectrum and the least amount of acidity. So it's easier on your stomach, mm-hmm. Which a lot of people don't realize, because a lot of times it does have that burnt flavor. So you feel like, well, this can't be that low of acidity because it doesn't always sit well. Mm-hmm. But when I researched, I found the beans that I wanted to use for deep till, and they come from Southeast Asia, and they like a really dark roast. That's where they're happiest. So that's where they produce their best flavor, and they don't taste burnt.
Okay. I was really curious about that because I could not imagine that people actually love the taste of burnt coffee.
No, that's why that was my half pint mission statement, because I hate burnt bitter coffee. Mm-hmm. And I thought this can't be the only way you can have like a darker roast. There has to be a different way.
Yeah, there has to be. So I have two other things I want to know. Number one is how you got into this. And number two, I have already forgotten number two, because this is how my brain works. I hate when I do this. Number two. I don't remember what number two was. So how did you get into this? We'll find
maybe
number two.
I'll give it while I answer this question. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting story. So my husband owns an insurance and real estate agency here in Walnut Grove, and then some other towns around. And the dentist was retiring, and he's a very good friend of theirs. And so he came across the street, because it's right across the street, and he wanted to sell the building. And so my husband, and it's a family business, it's my husband, his two brothers, and his dad, decided they were going to buy it, because small town living, a lot of times Main Street buildings will sell online, and it's not always the best. They get bought, they don't necessarily get taken care of, they get filled with people, maybe somebody's stuff. So they bought it thinking, well, maybe we can sell it to a different business or do something with it. So we sat on it for a little while. And my real life job, like my profession for the last 22 years, is physical therapy. I'm a physical therapy assistant and a rehab director. But I've always had this desire to be an entrepreneur. And so we kind of talked about things. We talked about a brewery and we talked about a distillery. And we decided that that wasn't necessarily the avenue that we wanted to go. During COVID, I took a year break from healthcare, and I actually managed a local vineyard, which is different. It was fun. I learned a lot. But one of the things I did while I was there was we started a subscription service, and it was called the Roast and Toast Club. So every quarter you got 3 bottles of wine and 2 pounds of coffee. So I met local coffee roasters, and that's how I learned about roasting coffee. Yeah. It just barely introduced to it.
So you didn't have any background in it at all until that point.
No, No. So then the world started opening up again. We have three children, very busy, play all sorts of sports. The vineyard life was not going to work for me after, you know, things were not wrapping up, but things were opening back up. So I went back to healthcare, and then we started talking about what to do with this building. And then I said, you know, my husband said, well, I don't know if a brewery would be how well it would do. You know, maybe we need to have something else with it. And I said, well, maybe coffee in the morning. And he said, yeah, maybe that's a good idea. And we talked about that some more. And then actually it was last year, this time we were in Costa Rica. I also am a certified yoga instructor. So I usually travel during the winter for a little bit and teach yoga down in the Caribbean. So we were down there and I just said to him, I'm like, you know what? I know how to roast coffee beans. And he said, you do? And I said, kind of. Maybe we should do our own coffee beans. And I said, I'm going to go talk to one of the local roasters that I worked with. Her name was Paula. She owned Left Bank Cafe in Slayton. She's recently retired. And I said, if I go talk to Paula and she tells me she'll mentor me, it's meant to be. If she tells me no, then I'm going to move on and we'll do something else. And I went and talked to her and she said 1,000,000% yes. And so then I spent time with her and I learned about sourcing coffee beans and I learned about packaging and I learned about roasting coffee beans and I learned about the equipment that she used. And she'd done it for 25 years. So I am very thankful to her and appreciative of her. She just volunteered to give me all of this knowledge.
That's amazing.
So from there, I've just done a lot of research and kind of figured it all out. It's fun. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I love learning curves. I really do. I don't love learning curves under pressure. Learning curves under pressure hurt. Learning curves where you're like, I'm really curious about this thing. I'm just going to dive into it for a month and a half and see what I get out of it. Those are fun.
Well, and I'm very fortunate. I didn't have a lot of pressure. Like I said, my husband's company, I've had a lot of things just work out for me. They own the building. I pay them rent. I have continued to work at my regular job. So I didn't have the pressure of replacing income that was weighing me down. Like, I have to do this and I have to do this now. It gave me a chance to, it doesn't feel like it when I look back on it, that it was this time last year we decided we were going to try this and now we're this deep into it. But I had enough time to be methodical in my thinking and planning to come out with a good product and then to continue to have it evolve.
Yeah, that's really fortuitous is the word that comes to mind for me. It's not always that way. And when you get slammed into something and it feels more like desperation than curiosity, that's always tough.
Remember, don't get me wrong, it's been a lot of work. Like, I'm working two jobs, but but I have the ability to do that. So that's good. And my family's very helpful. So that helps too.
Yeah. It's always great when you have support from people around you. Okay. I remember my second question. I love coffee. I would drink coffee even if it was terrible for me because I love how it smells and I think it's going to taste like how it smells and it's close. It's never exactly how it smells. Mm-hmm. So tell me the actual benefits of coffee. I know that it will pick you up when you're tired, but, and I think there's antioxidant properties, but tell me what's good about coffee for you.
Yes, there are antioxidant benefits. I know these answers, but I can't right off the top of my head. You know, you do have to be careful. Like, it's not good to drink coffee all day long because it can dehydrate you. But yes, there are a number of reasons that it's good for you. That's a tough question, unless you want me to Google it right now. That's a hard one. I can give you all the reasons that's good for you.
That it isn't good for you?
That yoga's good for you. I said I have those all on the top of my head.
Yoga's good for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that coffee can actually be helpful for your digestive system if you don't drink too much of it.
Yes.
I know that without it, I would not be as happy as I am most days. So it
right.
lifts your mood.
It helps burn fat.
Mm-hmm.
And it can reduce your risk of diabetes and Alzheimer's, which I think is interesting.
Well, that's good because Alzheimer's runs in my family. So maybe I'll avoid it. That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not too worried about diabetes. I am not food driven. So I'm not too worried about being hit with that in my old age, but I also could be wrong because it's not necessarily a obesity issue. It does tie in, but it's not always an obesity issue. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But either way, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just thought that maybe you would know some more things than I know right now about coffee and nutrition benefits. But
I could tell you a lot about coffee beans and roasting coffee and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So I now am stuck because I thought you were going to have a lot to say about that. Oops.
Sorry.
So when I don't want you to give away your trade secrets because I know that that's not something you want to do. Mm-hmm. But cooking with coffee, I have a recipe for a chocolate cake that calls for a cup of room temperature dark roast coffee. And it is amazing to me what a difference that makes because I've made chocolate cakes without cold brew or not cold brew, but dark roast coffee in it. And they're fine. But something about coffee and chocolate really works together.
Yes, it does. My daughter is just about 18. She's senior high school and she bakes a lot. And so she started incorporating coffee into a lot of her baking. And yes, cookies, cakes, cupcakes, bundt cakes, pound cakes. It just gives it this complexity of flavor to the chocolate. It doesn't necessarily always taste like coffee. I think it just brings out more flavors in the chocolate, depending on the amount of coffee that's in the recipe.
Yeah.
And then my husband recently has been experimenting with homemade Kahlua.
Nice.
Which is good. Yes. So I cannot sell that, of course. But that's a fun experiment, too, if you like, to have espresso martinis or bulldogs or other drinks that have Kahlua in them or Kahlua cake. My daughter's used it in making Kahlua cake, which is a chocolate cake with Kahlua in it and then a Kahlua glaze on the top.
Yum. Can I come see your daughter for Kahlua cake?
Well, the plan is actually she is going to – so at Half Pint Coffee Company coffee shop, we are going to have baked goods. So we're going to have muffins, scones, bundt cake, pound cakes, and she's going to do the baking.
Nice.
So, So we'll have treats. We'll have like a bundt cake of the month, a pound cake of the month, and different treats that way. So you'll have to come to Walnut Grove, and then you can have her Kahlua cake.
Well, my plan is to try to get there at some point as a part of the Laura Ingalls Wilder tour thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll get there this summer. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
So I've also seen that coffee can be used as a facial scrub for your skin and that it's actually pretty good for your skin. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. When you do that, it releases antioxidants and helps with reducing wrinkles and actually it can help with reducing cellulite. You use used coffee grounds. So, but you have to be careful because it's not the best for your plumbing, your drains to put coffee grounds down it. But yeah, you just use it like a scrub and it is refreshing. And feels good. And I will say that it does help tighten up the skin. You know, and cellulite is just the fascia in the body collects deposits of fat. And so you have to smooth out that fascia and then the cellulite will smooth out, not necessarily go away. So with the texture of the coffee grounds and rubbing in circles on the skin, that can help with that.
Nice. And I also know that coffee grounds can be really good for your garden if you put the used coffee grounds in the dirt in your garden. Mm-hmm. And I hear that it's good for tomatoes, but I don't know that that's true because we haven't done it yet.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I used to grow a really big garden, and then my kids got really busy, and then my garden was really taking the hit. So I haven't grown a garden in a few years, but I have heard that before about coffee grounds in your garden. And I believe it also helps keep rodent or like pests away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rabbits and mice.
You stop growing a garden and you started growing kids.
Yeah. Well, when my kids were little, they helped a lot in the garden. The problem was they got old enough that they're so busy with baseball and softball in the summers that I just wasn't home to take care of my garden, and it became more of a chore. And I thought, well, this is supposed to be fun. This isn't fun. So hopefully one day I'll go back to it. I used to grow a really big garden and do a lot of canning.
Yeah, that's where we're at now. We now have enough room to grow a really big garden, and we finally bit the bullet and tried canning and discovered that it's pretty easy and we actually enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's fun to pull your stuff off the shelves all year round, like especially in the winter.
Uh-huh.
To have like, a jar of homemade tomato soup or pasta or whatever. I do miss that. I used to make pasta sauce, salsa, of course, tomato soup, pizza sauce, tomato sauce, pretty much any way you could make tomatoes. I used to can all that stuff.
Yeah, our next door neighbor where we used to live made a salsa years ago. I can't remember how many years ago now. And it was not a spicy salsa.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost a sweet salsa.
Yeah.
And
that's the way I like my salsa.
Yeah, and she did it by mistake. And when I asked her how she did it, she was like, "I don't know, I didn't write it down."
Oh no.
She has not been able to replicate it since, and I'm so sad because I would totally make it and can it if she had the recipe, but she doesn't remember what she did.
Right.
It's a huge bummer. It was the best salsa I've tasted in my entire life. I loved it.
Yeah.
So when you open your shop, you're going to mm-hmm. have used coffee grounds. So are you going to do what a lot of the big coffee shops do and let people take those and use them in their gardens?
Oh, yeah, sure. So I already so when you roast coffee beans, they let off a chaff, mm-hmm. which is like if you think of peanuts, the paper, you know, the papery that's on peanuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coffee beans do that. And so my coffee roaster collects all that chaff. And then I have a homesteader that lives just outside of Walnut Grove. I save it all for her because I have it and it's easy. She comes and gets it and she puts it in her chicken coop actually. And she said she has the best smelling chicken coop around.
I bet.
So I'll plan to do the same thing with my coffee grounds if anybody wants them for nice. Anything. Yeah. Cause take it from the earth, give it back to the earth.
Yeah, and it means it's not going into the trash can and into the landfill.
Right.
It doesn't get used for anything. So,
and I live on an acreage as well. I don't grow a garden right now or anything, but that was when she contacted me. She said, "What are you going to do with your chaff?" And I was like, "Well, I was just going to go put it in my grove, you know." Mm-hmm. And so, that's if nobody wants the coffee grounds, that's what I'll do is I'll just go sprinkle it around my grove and try and keep that healthy and. Maybe keep a few weeds down. I don't know if it'll help with that or not, but.
Yeah, my husband would probably know, but I have no idea. He is the gardener and the plant dude. I'm more like, hey, let's put peonies in and watch them grow. I'm the low maintenance end of the team here on gardening.
Right.
But I'm the high maintenance part of the team on cooking because I love to cook. So.
Okay.
So I do.
You a question? Can I ask you a question?
Sure. What?
So what brought you to Minnesota?
An ex-husband.
Okay.
Yeah. The first husband moved out here for a job and I came kicking and screaming to Minnesota.
And you stayed?
And then I stayed. I actually did go back in 95 for about 6 months and my former boss at my job called me and said, will you please come back? I will give you a raise and you will have health insurance. And I don't know what you know about Maine back in 1995, 96, but the economy was not great and pay was not great. And it was a smarter move to come back. So here I am. I'm still in Minnesota 30 something years later. And I did
not. Oh, it hasn't been that long since 1995, has it?
Oh, no. I've been back to visit, but that was when I was there for any extended period of time. I was there for like 6 or 7 months again. But Minnesota is not, I call it a lateral move because it's really not that different. Geographically, it is, but it isn't. Like, there's no ocean and there's no mountains bordering Minnesota. Unless you go way out, obviously. But it's not that different. You know, the summers are hot. The winters are cold. The spring and the fall is what you live for. And it's totally fine. Plus, I've made some really good friends here. And I was like, I can't leave. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Plus, I had a couple of kids after I moved here. And they would have had culture shock in the opposite way, moving to Maine. Right. Right. It's like, I'm here. I'm going to grow where I stuck myself. It's fine.
Go ahead.
I love Minnesota now. And anybody who knows me will be like, she finally said it. But I do. It's really pretty. It's a good place to live. You were going to ask me.
How long have you done your podcast?
I started I started recording back in August. I think the first episode was released on August 27th, I think. So not long at all. And I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, but it's really fun. So I'm going to keep doing it.
Right. Well, you get to meet interesting people, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. And I love it. I get done talking to you guys and I am high for an hour and a half after. It is the best way to feel good without doing drugs. And I've never done drugs. So this is really fun for me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm sorry I didn't know. I came up with some answers eventually. Sorry I didn't know them right away.
Oh, but no. And I, like I said, I don't script the podcast. It's hi, how are you? Tell me about you and what you do. How you do it and why you do it. And clearly you love it. So that's why you do it.
Yeah, I do love it. And I love teaching people about it. It's, you know, like I said, it's a whole new avenue for me being in healthcare as many years as I have, but it's refreshing. I should also say I do sell online, www.halfpintcoffeeco.com, and I'll ship anywhere in the United States.
Nice. So, okay.
Yes. And I do fundraising. That's another little offshoot of my business. I fundraise for organizations. So if anybody is in need and has a group or an individual that is looking to do something fun and different for fundraising, they can visit my website and there's a form on there they can fill out and I'll reach out with information. So I've done school groups. I did a fundraiser for a coworker of mine that's dealing with breast cancer, some athletic teams. So kind of anything.
Fun and helpful.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That came to me one night. I was like, well, I should do fundraising. So yeah, I just sell my coffee to the organization for what I have for wholesale costs on my wholesale contracts. And so the organization that is doing the fundraising makes $5 for every bag sold. And that's 1/2 pound or 1 pound bags.
That is not a bad, quote unquote profit. That's a pretty good percentage.
Right. And it's all online ordering. So it's super simple for the group that's doing it. Mm-hmm. And then we can, some do local delivery, I bring it to them, and then the students or athletes go out and deliver. Otherwise, if it's family across the country or whatever, they can still support, and then I ship to them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry, I keep getting goopy, and I don't know why. So I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me, Crystal. I actually did learn a lot about this.
Oh, good. I hope so. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye.